ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 137 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. I'm glad you're listening. This week I've got a great interview with Gilbert Deltrez, one of the creators of Under the Flesh, a comic that is going through a Kickstarter program for funding right now and deserves your support, I believe, and you'll get to hear why during my interview with Gilbert. It's about zombies, and it's got a little mix of Captain America and some other stuff, like why the last man might be in there as well. So you're going to want to listen and hear what this comic is all about. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I want to welcome to the podcast Gilbert Deltrez, one of the creators of Under the Flesh, which is a really interesting book about zombies and kind of like Captain America thrown in there and Why the Last Man a little bit in there too, but it's a really interesting mix of all those things. How are you doing today, Gilbert?
Hey, Wayne. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. Ready to talk about anything you want.
Okay, well, we'll talk about this book that you're working on, because I've had a chance to read it. Now, okay. Let's do the first thing. People always complain that I never get the website out there enough. Okay. So why don't we start off by talking about what the website is, where you can find this comic.
Definitely. The website is available totally for free online at undertheflesh.com, and we update a new page each Sunday. So right now we're rounding out about 20 pages so far. So we're closing in on the first issue in terms of a single issue standpoint. But feel free to check it out, undertheflesh.com. And thanks, Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's called on the website a sci-fi comic of zombie horror.
Yes.
I find that kind of an interesting, kind of a mashup of those two genres, which is kind of interesting. I've got to ask, you know, the zombies have been popular, you know, of course, with The Walking Dead's going on.
Of course.
You've got all kinds of stuff going on. And you're bringing something a little different to the table, which is nice to see. What was it about zombies that appeals to you and the artist that works with you? What was it about the whole zombie phenomenon that attracted you to it?
Well, as a kid growing up, I've always had a fascination with zombies, from Romero's movies to Lucio Fulci. Even video games, Resident Evil, the first Resident Evil video game was an extremely horrifying experience. And that was also a major draw for zombies, as far as I'm concerned. My artist, J.L. Giles, he as well got into his zombie craze, I guess, a little bit with Thriller and Michael Jackson. But I've always had a fascination with zombies. And I guess some things that disappointed me in the genre, in terms of sometimes you never know about the origin of the virus, or some things that are just never left answered. I felt I wanted to add to that and kind of answer some of those questions eventually with my comic. And I just felt an interesting way, because it's always hard to do something fresh or something original. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. You just got to find a way to get people to look underneath differently, to look at what's underneath differently. And I felt that if we incorporate the zombie virus, again, they're not really zombies, but okay, let's just throw it out there. Incorporate this virus, and you have it only infect males. There'll be a specific reasoning behind that. It'll be revealed ultimately. But I felt that would be a good way to change the dynamic, because now we have men dying off, and now you have a focus on women characters and how that will change women overall. And I felt that doing that would be an interesting twist to the genre. And a lot of times with zombie movies, there's never a powerful character. The good thing about these type of post-apocalyptic scenarios is the lead character is always like a human being, someone that's like maybe didn't have a background in law enforcement. Sometimes they're just a regular person and they're thrust into this situation. They become a hero. So I felt, why don't, from the outset, we just throw in a genetically enhanced hero, and you have this guy that doesn't know his abilities yet, and he's in this end-of-the-world scenario, and he's learning more about himself, but at the expense of him wanting to know more of himself, he'll put the people he cares about at risk, and I thought that would be an interesting dynamic.
Because one of the things I always, if people listen to my podcast know that I am on this forever and ever, is there needs to be more female characters that are of interest. Because let's face it, Storm is always going to be basically the same character in the X-Men. You know, and all these different women, they all tend to be, they need to be maternal is what a lot of people do. And one of your characters actually is somewhat maternal and protective, which I found really fascinating because of that. But you also have a lot of the other women have a lot of different personalities. They stand out from each other. And I really like that because, like I said, I think that women get the short shrift in comics. And it's nice to see your book come along and actually let them be scoundrels and let them be scientists and let them be good guys and bad guys and everything in between, which I don't think the women get the chance to do all that much. Men get all the chance in the world. I mean, they can be anything from the Mandarin up to Iron Man. You know, what's the difference? But I'm glad to see that you're actually giving women a fair shot to be different people. Well, is that intentional on your part?
In a way, I want to say it definitely was, because I'm always looking for ways to increase. Like I said, I love the zombie genre. And I'm like, what could be something to expound upon it, to bring it out there, to add more fuel? And I felt, like you said, like a lot of times, you know, there's not much importance thrown towards women characters. Yes, you have some important ones, yes. But in terms of creating this, I was ambitious. From the get-go, I'm introducing a lot of characters at once. And I know some people might not connect to the characters just yet. But I felt I have a lot going on and I want to introduce these characters, and then the story will – it's taking its wings. But to emphasize the importance of women in the comic is definitely a reason why I have the virus specifically infect males. There's a certain reason behind that. We'll get to that. And it gave me the opportunity to explore these female characters, to add dynamic female characters. One important character we have is a female character from the biker group that shows up, Jewel. She's going to be an amazing character that she actually wasn't in the original concept. And when I was throwing in things together, we just added her, and she's just becoming – might be a fan favorite, I want to say, but she's taking shape, and I'm loving how the power – it's almost like a girl power book, I don't want to say, but it will allude to that only because we're going to be surrounded by powerful women characters.
And we need more of that, so I'm all for that. I have to say, too, that your partner, his name is pronounced J.L. Giles, right, or is it Giles?
Giles, yeah, J.L. Giles, yes.
Okay, good. So I'll make sure you get his name right, too. Mm-hmm. But I'm fascinated by her. I think you're right, she's going to catch on because she's a very different, again, she's as far as from maternal as you can get. Which, and that makes her all the more interesting to me. I mean, not that I don't mind a maternal female, but I like seeing what you're doing with it and providing all these different women. So I'm extremely thrilled, you know, to see all that kind of stuff going on. So I'm just kind of curious, though, as far as the concept goes, you know, one of the things, you know, we'll pay a little attention to the men right now. Mm-hmm. The concept fascinates me because the idea that men are being affected by the virus, and yet in the book you have several men that are involved who are apparently not affected by it, or at least not yet. Mm-hmm. And I just – was that intentional? Did you – because, like, why the last man? There's only one guy.
York.
All the women are all after him, and they want, you know, the kind of stuff. And but this is a case where we actually see – you see the biker gang, and there's a lot of guys involved. Mm-hmm. They get to the library where they take shelter, this group does, and there's a guy there, as well as the guy who's the main – quote-unquote the main character. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of curious about it. You're giving men a chance to be the secondary characters, which I like. And so that always pleases me when I see that kind of stuff. And reversing roles like this is really cool. Now, did you set out that way, or when as the concept developed, like with the female biker, did that develop as you went along, or was that something that you originally had as a concept?
When I was establishing the origins on the virus, I kind of wanted to throw it out there that it was almost a coordinated attack. There's details onto how it happened, and of course that will be looked at carefully once we get further into the comic. But I kind of almost want to leave it to how the readers interpret it, because the way how I intend it is the virus was an airborne virus targeted at these military installations, and then from there it would dissolve within the atmosphere, and then it would just spread through contact, and that's how it basically spread into society. So you will see instances of them, there'll be males that aren't affected yet, but this is like in a traditional zombie comic, how you get bitten, you get scratched, like the virus will transfer that way. And how it started, the origin of the virus, is of course will be resolved, but it's almost like an airborne, and then it just spread through contact, and it was hit, and it began at military installations. So there was a specific reasoning on that, and I did want it to infect the males in that way, and I didn't want to just do like what Why the Last Man does, where they kind of all drop dead, because mm-hmm. I just felt that's, I like I said, I love Why the Last Man and love the story, but in my opinion, I just felt that it was just too much of a, I don't know, for me it just seems like just too blunt, too harsh, just too like flat out, like all men are just turned into these things. No, they don't. It's a virus that spread out, and like a virus, it eventually dissolves, and what's left will continue spreading if it's not contained or quarantined or whatnot. So that's how I envision the virus, and that's how you will see male, I guess, as you said, secondary characters, so to speak. So it adds interesting dynamics when eventually they'll come across other survivors in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the main character for a minute, Lieutenant Lobos. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of fascinated because I did mention a little bit about the fact that there's a little Captain America thing going on with him. Mm-hmm. Because at the very beginning of the book, on like page 3, he's becoming a super soldier.
Yes.
And talk about the good timing is this: he gets injected or gets he receives the nanobots that are going to make him a super soldier before the virus hits. Thankfully, I would be frightened to see what would happen if that had been the other way around. But he's an interesting character. I like the fact that with that name, he's a Hispanic male, right?
Yes.
As far as it goes.
Yes.
So we don't get a lot of that in comics either, so I was very pleased to see that as well. Was that also something that you planned? You wanted to have him be Hispanic? You wanted – he's a special forces guy, so he's obviously good at his job. Was there something about – having a Hispanic male that appealed to you in this book?
I come from a family that we have a lot of military background in our family, and I'm pleased to say that I have family members that have served in the armed forces, have served for the military, so I'm always around inspiring stories, and I just felt that I wanted, again, to add something different, so I just didn't want to come across and just maybe try to play, like, I mean, we know Captain America, Steve Rogers. I try to, I guess, distance myself from, like, what we're used to seeing. So that's why I targeted maybe we'll have a minority lead and maybe we can have some female characters take the stage. And if you want to do a comic, and of course, if you want to bring something fresh, and of course, zombies, we know that they're very popular and people love a good zombie story. I felt the way to do this was to change certain things, to have a different lead character, to throw in the super soldier mix in a post-apocalyptic scenario, to have it only infect males. So you're getting something fresh within cliched environment that we all love. I mean, we love zombie movies. If you're into the comic, there's a party that loves horror, that loves zombies. So I kind of want to play on these things while making the story uniquely my own in a sense. So we could have a fresh take on it, and that's why I opted to have a minority lead and go with that, yeah.
Now, you know, the irony is that in Marvel, Steve Rogers has supposedly had all the super soldier serum sucked out of him.
Mm.
So I get a kick. I was kind of when I was reading on the news releases about that, and then I was reading this story. I said, "Wait a second! Did the super soldier serum get put into this guy after he got taken out of Captain America? How'd that happen?" But your timing is perfect, though, because now with Captain, they're supposedly going to make the Falcon Captain. Oops, I probably shouldn't have said that. But that the rumor is that they're going to have him be the Captain America, have a black Captain America for a while.
Cool.
But the thing that's interesting, I just found that the timing couldn't have been better as far as that goes, because you know Cap now no longer has a super serum formula, but now Lieutenant Lobos does. Of course, it's different. You know, his is a chemical, and yours has to do with nanobots and things like that. So yours is a little more up to date than, say, Captain America is. But I thought that was a kind of an interesting thing. But again, timing is everything, and sometimes things happen and you have absolutely no control over them, but it's a great thing. So I thought it was just a perfect timing for Captain America to lose the super soldier serum and for Lieutenant Lobos to get one. So I just thought that was a good thing. I never planned it, I'm sure, but that just happened perfectly for you, I thought.
And also how you mentioned how you wanted to see what would happen the other way around, how – you see Lieutenant Lobos, he had his nanobot injection before. You said, I wonder what happened if it happened the other way around. So I'm just going to leave that out there that you will, your curiosity will be satisfied. So if you guys follow it, hopefully we get to push this comic a little bit further. You're definitely going to see what happens on the flip side of that. because, of course, I want to explore all avenues that will make, you know, the comic impactful, interesting, engaging. And I thought just as what you thought, and I couldn't wait, but I had to act on it. So you'll definitely get a glimpse of that in the next issue.
Very good. Well, see, I like it when you know what we're thinking, and maybe as yourself a comics reader or a comics fan,
definitely,
you understand what people like me are out there reading, because, you know, I do podcasts. I'm not necessarily a writer of comics per se, but when I hear someone like you say that, that gives me courage to continue on and read the book, because I want somebody who can kind of know what I expect. Don't give me what I expect, give me what I need, and that's a good story. And so I it gives me courage that I really believe that you're doing that with this comic.
I'm trying to give fans what they want as a reader of comics first. I've been reading comics since, you know, Sunday school, church. I would wait to get out of church for mom to take me to the local Quickie Mart to check the latest Spider-Man adventure on the spin style. So I'm a lover of comics, and as a reader of comics, as a lover of comics, I want to give fans what I would expect or what I would want, because it's hard to – it sucks when you're a fan and you want to see something happen. It just never happens, and you drag on with a comic for so long, and you're just not getting the answers. And it's cool to keep things going, but at the same time, I think if you just give readers what they want in the essence, because readers at the same time, they'll hunt you down if you kill a fan favorite character or, you know, so it's like a double-edged sword. But at the same time, I want to give them what they want in a way, and I want to show them that I'm alluding to understanding what they need as a reader, and I'm there.
See, this is one of the problems I have with The Walking Dead, though, is the fact that we just don't know what happened. And based on the fact that we're, what, 100 and almost 150 issues into this, we're very likely never to find out what happened.
Probably.
Now, there was another zombie book that was called Quarantined. It was done by Michael Morrissey, and he actually spent a lot of time developing how things came to be.
Awesome.
You know, Walking Dead is great, and it has its place, but, you know, we've already got Walking Dead. We don't need another Walking Dead, so I'm glad you're doing something a little different with it.
Definitely, and again, Robert Kirkman and Walking Dead has been a major inspiration, of course, on me. To say not would be a lie. He had a big impact on the zombie culture. And I love The Walking Dead. I love the comics. I'm still following it up to date. I'm following the TV show. And like you said, sometimes, you know, it drags its feet a little bit. And people kind of don't want to see, I guess, some people are happy with that. And some people feel like maybe it's getting stagnant. And at the same time, maybe we'll never find out what happens. But that's what, Under the Flesh, I kind of wanted to separate myself from that immediately, and just kind of show it's like a grindhouse mashup between like The Walking Dead, Why the Last Man, Captain America, play on that in a fun way and bring something different while still staying true to the zombie culture, so to say, even though with Under the Flesh, the infected aren't necessarily undead. They're just, the males are basically the degenerated into these savage primal cannibals the way it happens. And so that's kind of cool, though.
Okay, that sounds like real life, though, you know. The men are the savage cannibals, and the women have all the personalities and stuff like that. So, kind of find that interesting. Now, one of the things I'm fascinated, too, is the first issue was called Desolation Day.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about why it's called that?
Basically, I felt there needs to be something that people could resonate with Under the Flesh right away. And, again, with a lot of zombie stories, a lot of zombie viruses, sometimes you don't get anything as to the virus. It's just the virus, the pathogen. You just don't get any identity with it. So I felt like maybe if we gave the virus a name, we could kind of make the virus sort of a character and just say that for Americans, it'll be always known as Desolation Day, just like hopeless, just, you know, destruction. And just this word that once you hear it, you just think of the end. And I felt that would just be a good name for it. And then if you want to go for a short name, D-Day virus, then, you know, I thought that would be interesting. So I felt it would give the virus its own unique character as people want to know more about it, and eventually they will find out where it all came from. But I thought that would be a good reason, and that's why I gave it that name.
Well, I think it's kind of funny because you state, particularly in the States, it's known as Desolation Day. When it hits. Now, the question, of course, I need to know, of course, this is what The Walking Dead always drives me crazy, is the rest of the world, how much of the world do we know, are we aware how much has been affected? Is that something we're going to find out? Or is it pretty much going to be like Walking Dead where we just don't know? And that kind of leaves the door open for you to tell stories that you might want to do.
I'll give you this, the closure in a way right away. You're definitely going to find out that it's different in terms of, you will find out how the effect hits worldwide you're going to get a lot of these questions that you don't see answered in a lot of other typical zombie stories. You'll see me alluding to some of these questions being answered. Like I said, me as a crazy fanatic, as a zombie aficionado, hardcore buff, I've watched tons of movies, even the low-budget ones, B-movies, the C-movies, if you want to go that far, on Netflix, that are sometimes just unwatchable, but I'm that much of a fan. And I just decided, let me put my own spin on it. And in doing so, I will try to factor in some things that I've never had answered in terms of in a zombie comic. So I figured this is the best way. You have the best platform. You set it up, and you just go for it. And that's pretty much what I did with Under the Flesh. And you will have a sense of closure in knowing what happened in the U.S., what's going on, and how it affects worldwide, definitely.
Okay, so that's good. Now, as far as how the comic came to be, did you come up with the idea and then you contacted the artist? How did you guys get to start to work on this together?
Under the Flesh, it started out, honestly, as a short story in my creative writing class. I was always fascinated with zombies, so since I wanted to always write my own zombie story, I always had, since the beginning, that I wanted it only to infect males. I was very specific on that. And I had a good friend of mine who was really a Brian K. Vaughan fan, and she loved Why the Last Man. And she always told me, you got to read Why the Last Man, read Why the Last Man. And I've just never read it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm in creative writing class, writing the story, having it take shape, take form, and looking for an artist, doing the whole process that I thought it actually worked great as a comic because it's an instant visual impact. You know, if a picture's worth a thousand words, imagine a bunch of panels in a comic. You got a lot going on. So I knew right then it wasn't going to work as a short story. It would work better as a comic. And I took the critiques from the short story and I added Paul. Paul was the second male. I originally had it just Ruben surrounded by these women. It was like a harem comic, and that's how I had it. And then someone said, why don't you just have another male in there? And I'm like, okay. And then some of these things formed. And Jewel, the biker chick, she was never intended, and she came about and playing with it. So as I started beginning to flesh it out, it was originally called Flesh. Then it became Under the Flesh. And I then read Why the Last Man, because when I read the log line and I found out that all the males were infected, I'm like, no, please not let this be my idea that I've had. You just, ideas are out there all over, you know, so I didn't want that to happen. So I bought all the volumes, the hardcover volumes, and I started reading right away. And I loved the comic. It was brilliantly written. It was funny, had character. I loved it. And I was glad, too, that it didn't touch on much of the things that I wanted. You know, it's just like all the men drop dead. They don't turn into these savage cannibals that were predatory instincts. So right then away, I was happy. And I was also happy because I read a good comic. So from there, that's how I met JL, actually, on Boom Studios. They have like an artist submissions page. And in Hunting for an Artist, I saw some of the work he put out there. And I contacted him on email. And he loved the script. He was almost ecstatic. He was used to drawing, I guess, big two type superhero characters and those kind of material. And when I gave him this, it was like him able to explore and get into a different kind of realm. And he loved the concept that it only affects men, and he was on board. And I've been working with this guy since for more than a year, and we're going to keep this relationship going. And Under the Flesh, we're going to keep it going as much as we can. And I'm glad I found him.
He has kind of a Barry Kitson feel to him,
definitely,
which I kind of like. And he's able to do action as well as emotion, and not every artist can do that, so that it's a nice way for him to be able to tell the story, because he's taking your script and he's kind of making it breathe, and I like that quite a lot.
Definitely. I'm actually surprised at his talent. I'll write the script out, and there's some times where I want to be descriptive, like panel one has to be top down angle or whatnot, but then there's some where a lot of the conversation pieces where I don't really put much emphasis on that, but I know he'll make the dialogue pieces, you know, dynamic, you know, just a simple conversation, and just the angles he's playing up on and the expressions he's using is just him putting his little character in there, making the comic breathe and move it. And I love that. So I want to say we're like a Scorsese and DiCaprio team up as far as comics is concerned, because me and him got a good relationship, because I've worked with some artists where it's hard for them to read a script, and then some where they'll just take so much freedom where they literally change a story, and JL's been exceptional.
Great. Now, question is, why take the pages to the website? Because, you know, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll give you a couple of things, like a couple pages, and then and we're going to get to the Kickstarter project here in a second for it. But I'm just kind of curious as to what it was about putting these pages on a website that appealed to you. Because that's kind of, there are web comics, but then to actually take pages of a comics to come out the way that you're doing them, it's unusual I haven't seen this very much. So what was it about that appealed to you?
Because basically, in essence, what you capitalized on just there, that you don't see much of these type of webcomics that are produced in like a big two style fashion already there. But originally, why we wanted to put it out there on the web was to sort of establish some sort of a small fan base. It's hard to get published, and sometimes you just got to go out there and do it. And I've had one small publisher that liked the idea. And I kind of held off on it. I was trying to go for a bigger publisher like Skybound that's connected with Image Comics. And they have a lot of bandwidth with The Walking Dead. So they didn't want to go into those waters again. So, and I can't blame them. But at the same time, just calling Under the Flesh just a zombie comic is the gross understatement. But anyway, that's good for me because I'm able to put it out there and show the credibility behind the work, show that it's a two-man job. Bringing this comic to life as opposed to a five-man team as most big comic publishers have. But it's a way to give, and we'll always keep it for free, and at the same time to establish credibility by putting that 1 week every new page update and a platform that we could establish ourselves and give ourselves credibility and lead into new waters. And that's why we decided to try with the Kickstarter, to hopefully have the backing of the small audience sway right into the Kickstarter, and hopefully that can be the case. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys and gals, I'm Gilbert Del Trez, creator of Under the Flesh, and welcome to my Kickstarter. Under the Flesh is a survival horror tale set in a post-apocalyptic world where an unknown, male-specific virus degenerates men into savage cannibals. The protagonist is a short-tempered, genetically enhanced soldier who's obsessed to know the extent of his abilities because a virus occurred at the same time of his experiment. He is uniquely surrounded by a diverse cast of strong female characters in a dying world where women outnumber men. Creating comics is a costly and meticulous process. It takes more than 14 hours to ink, color, and letter just one page, and that's not counting the script. Through Kickstarter, creators can bypass the middleman and avoid heavy cutbacks associated with distributors, which means you guys get exclusive content plus more. The funds received for our Kickstarter goal will be used directly to finance the comic, which will mainly cover JL's artistic talent at a respectable rate and, of course, ensure you backers get your rewards. We've already completed issue number one, which you can read for free at undertheflesh.com, but we'll need your support for issue number two. Truth is, guys, I'm nothing without you. So far, the reader response to Under the Flesh has been phenomenal. We have a bunch of fan-favorite characters. We have a couple characters people don't want us to kill off, and that's a good thing. We've completed issue number one, and right now we want to keep that going. But to keep that going, we need your support. This Kickstarter will be a success if you guys help out. Right now, I appreciate the support, and I'm ecstatic to have you guys join the creative movement at Under the Flesh in any way, shape, or form. Again, thank you guys for the support. You were awesome.
Now, why don't you talk a little bit about the Kickstarter project? What's your goal? You know, you've probably only got a couple of weeks left by the time this airs. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to go Kickstarter, and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
The decision to go to Kickstarter was a financial one in a way, only because I've been financing the comic straight out of pocket. And it's been a costly expense, and it's been a learning process. I've learned that it's costly to make pages. And at the same time, JL inks the page, he letters the page, he colors the page, and he does this all at a rate that, I mean, he bends a lot to make the comic happen. So I wanted to go to Kickstarter to see if anyone could see what we're doing and kind of shoulder in some support, so that way I could give JL a more respectable rate for what he does. And at the same time, show the fans that, hey, we're geared to keep this going, and to show that what we can do through Kickstarter is another avenue that lets us create a comic outside of the margins of big publishers and produce a great comic. So I figured Kickstarter would be a great avenue. And I decided to keep the small, relatively small, just to cover the print costs for the first issue. and for JL to receive his rate. So basically, we're just looking to keep the comic going, and that itself is a huge satisfaction for me. And and maybe by the time we get to issue number 6, that's how I want to close the first story arc. Maybe then we can do a trade paperback, and maybe that I could try to publish off to like a bigger publisher, an IDW or a Dark Horse or an Image, and see what happens from there. And then we can always go back to the second story arc after, you know, me and JL maybe try to look at another project we could tackle. We just want to show the fans or just show the people what we're trying to do. And I felt Kickstarter was a great opportunity to help me with the financial costs.
Now, I'm kind of intrigued because, well, first of all, we need to say, if you go to Kickstarter.com, how do they find your project? Do they have to say Under the Flesh? Do you do a search for Under the Flesh? Is that how they'll find it?
If you do a search for Under the Flesh, you'll see it. But more importantly, if you just go straight to UndertheFlesh.com, we have a link there to our Patreon. And you basically dive straight head in and into the campaign. So we try to make it easy. On our Twitter, we're constantly throwing out tweets with links to the Kickstarter campaign, and we have a Facebook page. So if you basically log into UndertheFlesh.com or you hit up that link, you're definitely going to have so many ways to get plugged into the Kickstarter campaign. You won't be able to miss it. I hope not.
Now, what's your goal? How much money do you want to raise through the Kickstarter program?
Honestly, we want to keep it very short and sweet and humble. If we could just make our $3,500 goal just to cover the cost for printing and financing the rest of issue number 2, that would be a success. If things go a little bit more than we'd hope for, which would be great, we'd throw in some stretcher rewards, some cool bonuses, some maybe original prints from some guest artists that I had lined up, artists I'm also working on with other projects. So there'll definitely be something there to whet the appetite. But the most important thing is to show that we could, God willing, if it's a success, if the Kickstarter is a success, that we could meet our goals. And we want to establish credibility. We don't want to have a successful Kickstarter. And then if that's the case, you guys wait, I don't know how long before you get your stuff. We want to show that we're treating this as a brand and you guys are getting a good comic and supporting a great cause for indie comics. And I just want to keep you guys loyal. So I want to do what I have to do to make you guys stick around.
So I saw if you pledged on the first 3 days that you got an exclusive reward. Do you want to say what that was?
That exclusive reward is an original print by JL Giles. It's of Jewel the Biker, and it's a pretty nice print, and it's in a splash page featured in Under the Flesh, and he's going to sign it and number it. So it'll be limited only to the first 3 days, just so we could give a little something to those who are showing support early on, and we'll definitely add in some other rewards for those who are probably just coming in late, but at the same time want to help us meet that goal if we're not even there. So there's still going to be stuff kicking.
Okay. What's the deadline? When does the session end? When do people have to get their donations in by?
By August 3rd, that Sunday, we'll definitely be closing it up by 8 o'clock, I believe, or if not earlier. But we actually went less than 30 days. I know they recommend 30 days, and I was at a Florida SuperCon. Basically, JL launched this Sunday, July 6th, and by the time it closes out, it's not even a full 30 days, but we're hoping that the momentum gets us through. So it'll be the Sunday that the August 3rd where it closes out.
Oh, crud. You were at Florida SuperCon?
Yeah, I was.
Because I was there. I was also there going around talking to folks, and I didn't bump into you when I was there. That's too bad. I wish I'd known.
Oh, my God. It's great. I'm telling you, that it was the first time hitting up Florida SuperCon, but I'm going to be definitely doing some more con hopping only because the experience is beautiful, and it's just good to be surrounded by people in that culture that love comics and love the entertainment. So hopefully we can plan something for next time. It's crazy that we missed each other. Jeez.
Yeah, it's hard that it worked out that way. Yeah. Of course, I'll be in Tampa. I don't know if you'll be in Tampa at the beginning of August. That's your concluding weekend, but yeah, the first weekend of August.
I might want to try heading there. I'm still weighing in the numbers, but Tampa might be also an avenue. So if I'm there, if I know for a fact I'm going there, I'll definitely hit you up. It'd be awesome to see you in person.
Okay. That'd be great. Now, you said something that appeals to me, too, in the sense that not only do you have the first issue, which is Desolation Day, you talked about having like 6 issues that you could put together into a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the opening storyline in those first 6 issues?
Yes, that'll be the first story arc. And I figured 6 issues seems to be a safe way. I don't want to bog people down, but at the same time, I do. But I felt you do the first 6 issues, people will definitely know how the story is. They'll get a feel for the characters, see where the story's heading, and with 6 issues in, you're really going to get a feel of the Under the Flesh universe, where it's going and the wild, ravaged road we're going to take. And I felt that would be a great way to leave people wanting more, of course, but also a healthy dose of the story and narrative. And 6 issues, we could do it little by little, and then a trade to make it easier.
Because, like, for example, on Monkey Brain Comics, they'll put those out digitally, and then what they'll do is, because they still own the property, they'll collect them into a trade, and they come out under various companies, too. It doesn't come all out under one.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that's probably something, you know, just shop it around after a while, because, honestly, the art, I have to tell you something, there's a lot of independent books out there that the art really lags, and the story may be great, but the artwork is so hard to get into and to understand what's happening. But that's not the case with your book. The story and the art are, in my opinion, professional level, and so I would much rather see, you know, you guys continue on and do stuff and create more comics than just to, you know, some people do their things and then they shoot their wad and they're done. But you guys, it feels to me like you guys have a lot of story to tell, and you have the talent and the ability to make them really interesting and something that fans will enjoy.
Well, Wayne, I appreciate your kind words, and I'm basically hoping for what you basically stated, that the fans see the level of quality of the artwork, see the potential and promise in the storyline, and see that we're committed to fulfilling a professional type, top quality comic. It's basically a two-man job in an indie level, only because we're doing everything on our own. And if fans can get behind that and see that, that's basically what we want to do, is show that, hey, we're here to make a top quality comic and do it through a crowdfunding avenue, and show that we're in here to keep this going. As long as you guys are there, maybe that can help us get exposure somewhere else, and we'll be there for the fans. And that's just it. And even if we don't get that big level exposure, if we could keep it at this level, we still want to be consistent and be true to the fans and show, hey, we got something here, and hopefully they can find it.
Okay, well, that works for me. I'd like to see that as well. Now, are there other projects you're working on that you and JL are up to, like together or individually, that people should know about?
JL has one project he's working on with another writer, and it's sort of a Street Fighter martial arts type deal. It looks interesting from what I've seen. It's still kind of under wraps. He could talk a little bit more. At the same time, me and JL also have other projects that we've started working on, but we put aside to complete Under the Flesh. So most likely when we finish the first six issues, we'll go back into some of the other projects. But one of the projects that me and JL were working on was, basically, it's kind of like a wrestling WWE Raw meets C-11 Supernatural, something like that. Yeah, it's called Heel, and it's like a washed-up, underrated wrestler, and he takes his dive into limbo, and it gets really crazy, but that's what comics are for. So me and JL worked on that, and aside from that, I'm also working with a couple other artists on a few different projects, and if you kind of see where I'm going with Under the Flesh and how I want to mix things up and change things around, that's kind of what I'm doing with my other projects. I have one called Obsidian and one called Nightcross. And these are two other projects that hopefully in our first reward pledge, I believe it's a $5 pledge, we offer the digital PDF of Under the Flesh 1. But with that, we have something called Escape Comics Previews. And that's where I'm going to show some of the completed pages of Nightcross, of Obsidian, to show the fans what they get with me as a writer and to see the kind of stuff I'd like to put out there in the comic medium.
Cool. Well, I'd like to see it, too. So I hope that you're very successful with this good stuff. I have to say, the last time I did a Kickstarter program a few episodes ago, I was for a thing called Torso Bears from the UK.
Yes.
And they met their goal a couple of days early and actually got, I think, past the secondary goal as well.
Awesome.
So I'm hoping the same thing happened for you. You know, how much this podcast has to do with that, I don't know, but we'll do our very best to get the word out and talk about it. So I like Under the Flesh a lot. I'm anxious to see more of it, and I wish you a lot of success going forward and make this into a comic that everybody can enjoy.
Wayne, I appreciate the exposure, and I appreciate your kind words, and thank you for having me here in the podcast, and I'll keep you posted on where we stand with the Kickstarter goal.
Great, I appreciate it. And we'll have to get in there and put some extra money in there just to make sure you get it.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Okay.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's a wrap for this episode. Next week, be back when I'll have an interview with Ruben Romero, one of the creators of The Agency, a really interesting book about a government agency dealing with magic, and a teenager who catches their attention because he has special abilities. But until then, keep reading your comics.